This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham, founder and CEO of MBSLive.net, is here with us to give us an update on what we have on the economic calendar and probably a whole lot more. Matt, what's going on here, Fred?
David, a little bit of everything. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Fred.
So, yeah, last week, pretty crazy one, and yet another week where we thought things might be starting out a little bit more of a bond-friendly note and where things promptly deteriorated. One of those beatings will continue until morale improves sort of situations, and morale obviously is not improving. So, we had last week, coming into it, it was the second trading day of April, and as we talked about on the show, we really wanted to see how the first several days of April were trading before passing judgment on whether or not the friendly little consolidation we had at the end of March was something that might be a little bit more long-lasting. But things deteriorated promptly, and Tuesday morning was a key moment in that deterioration. It occurred after a prepared speech from Fed Vice Chair Brainard was released. And in that speech, if you had told me that any other Fed member, well, perhaps other than Evans, had said what she said, I'd just say, yeah, okay, the Fed has said that before. What are we talking about? In a nutshell, just the same old about faster rate hikes and a much faster pace of normalization. And as a reminder for those who need it, normalization refers to balance sheet normalization, or the Fed's process of actually shrinking its balance sheet by allowing MBS and Treasury reinvestments to roll off. They set a certain cap, and that cap will not be reinvested that particular month, only anything over that cap. So to give you an idea, I think last week on the show, I think I said it was $6 billion for MBS. It was actually $4 billion back in 2017, and that was the first round of caps for the normalization process. This time around, Brainard's comments foreshadowed something that happened the following day in the release of the Fed minutes, and markets correctly guessed that her comments may foreshadow a little bit more specificity. So the next day in the Fed minutes, $35 billion a month would be the cap for MBS. And that's quite a bit bigger than $4 billion, clearly. And it's a significant number for another very important reason, and that is when we go and look at the New York Fed's historical MBS purchases on their website, we can go back to 2017 when we were in somewhat of a similar rate environment and also a similar environment with respect to the Fed having fully tapered and being in the process of unwinding the balance sheet. And we can see what the reinvestments were before they started normalizing the balance sheet. And so if you look at those reinvestments and compare them to the number on the balance sheet total, which was like $1.7 trillion, and then look at the $2.7 trillion today and carry the one, extrapolate all of it, it would equate to about $35 billion a month right now in reinvestments, even in a relatively refi-free environment. So all that to say, the Fed is announcing a cap on MBS balance sheet roll-off that is going to effectively mean they're not going to be buying any MBS, more or less, right from the start. So similar stuff for Treasuries. Bond markets didn't love it. And the interesting thing we're seeing now is the long end of the bond market that's not loving it. So 10-year, 30-year, 7-year treasuries, all significantly higher in yield, while 2-year treasuries actually had a decent week, having a decent morning this morning. They're slightly lower, whereas 10-year yields are 8-plus bits higher, almost 2.8 right now. And that whole yield curve inversion, yeah, that only lasted a couple days. And now we're back up near 30 basis points, a big curve steepening. MBS have benefited from that at times, more or less, because they are shorter in duration than 10-year treasury yields, and obviously didn't get hurt as much last week, but have still been hurt quite a bit. Average lender up anywhere between an eighth and a quarter of a point from Friday. Average going rate 5.25% right now. Everybody's wondering how high could it go. It seems like it's incessant. So one other thought as far as last week's weakness would be that the traders understood that we're heading into a week where we have treasury issuance. It is a holiday shortened week. Japan continues to buy only their own debt and to be a big net seller of U.S. treasuries. We don't have super recent data for that, but we can assume that that's the case based on the previous month's data that we just got, as well as the news coming out of Japan on their focus on buying their own securities. And more Fed speakers. And we are worried to some extent that they're greasing the skids for a pretty hawkish announcement in May, one that at the very least hikes the Fed funds rate by 50 bits and quite possibly starts the balance sheet roll off right now. Earliest guesses were June as of January, and I was one of the earlier guesses there, and people laughed at me. I tried to keep my chin up, but now it looks like I may have even been too late, and it could be the May meeting. So, Dave, I really think that this is the kind of stuff that needs to happen before we can turn a corner. Markets are basically trying to keep going all in on with the Fed, call their bluff, price in the worst possible scenario they can imagine, so that way, once we have clarity as to actually what's going on, then we know when it's time to come back and how hard it's time to bounce back. But until the process begins, until normalization begins, until we see what liquidity looks like in various parts of the bond market, the path of least resistance is toward higher rates. The faster it goes higher, the more potential pressure we're building to bounce in the other direction. But again, to reiterate what I said last week, even though people were calling for a top, it's not something I would bet on, and it's not something I would really expect or call until you actually see it materialize. And the last thought I have on rates and the future and all that is one thing I like to tell my audience at times like this, when we're watching rates rise very quickly, is that I would much rather be wrong about rates bouncing one time and in a very big way, as opposed to being wrong multiple times on the way up as people are calling tops in rates. So we could shift our stance and say, oh yeah, I'm going to float my rate right now because I think we've seen a top. And you might be right about that, and that might feel really great, but I would rather just say, let's wait until we have obvious evidence that a corner has been turned before we jump on that bandwagon. And yes, rates are a lot higher than we thought they would be while we're having these discussions, but that's where they are.
They are where they are. It's so true. Jack, you're always a big watcher of the markets. Jack Dunnery, do you want to opine to this? I usually have some words with
Well, thanks, David. Matt, last week you were talking about resistance on the 10-year at 2.77, and it looks like this morning we're testing that resistance. Any thought there?
Lucky guess. I don't know. That's not what I usually have when one of my technical levels gets hit. But I think the other one I penciled in after this would be 2.83 and 2.91. But as far as a thought as to whether 2.77 holds up as resistance or support in this case, since we're talking about yield, no major thought. I just look at those levels as the next place I would expect to see yields maybe target or congregate if they were to move higher or lower, not so much as firm ceilings or floors.
Yep.
David, I'm not surprised by all of this. We were talking several months ago about Jerome Powell's challenge of landing this airplane safely. I think that's out the window now. I mean, with concerns over inflation and rising commodity prices and the war in Ukraine and the Federal Reserve's monetary policy going forward, I just think we're in a real bumpy ride. And like I said, inflation's been up almost a year. Oil prices have been up for some time now. All we've heard to date is a lot of talk and a quarter point rise in the Fed funds rate. So it doesn't surprise me to see the Fed reacting so vigorously now. And so buckle up. The next couple months are going to be interesting. And to Matt's point, until we get some clarity, I think you're going to see a real skittish market, both over in the bonds and over in the equities. So here we are.
Skittish would be friendly right now. Like one of our listeners just wrote in, the quote of the week, Matt Graham, the beatings will continue until morale improves. How about rates? That's good, Matt.
And morale can improve as soon as the beatings stop.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Yeah, go figure that one out. Great segment. Appreciate you so much. Check out what Matt publishes and his website, and great content. I've got that behind me all the time. I'm looking at it. Sometimes I keep it behind me because I don't like what it's saying lately, but I do turn around and look at the screen all the time. But it is pretty cool to have that sitting sitting there flashing away behind me when I'm on my conference call. Check out how you can get the extended trial. No credit card required by putting in LOL for Lickin' on Lending as the sign-up code. So, Matt, thanks for extending that extended trial period to our listeners. Do appreciate that, friend. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, man.
Have a good week.
You bet. You too, sir. Next week, we've got Troy Anderson with Finastra coming on. Getting to know Troy real well. This guy has got some depth of lending experience along with technology. You're going to enjoy this interview as we talk more about where technology is heading. It's appropriate, seeing as the MBA Tech Conference is going on. So I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors again, Finastra, Lenders One, Mobility MMI, Modex, the MBA, Knowledge Coop, the Mortgage Collaborative, SnapDoc, Success Kit, Lender Toolkit, Total Expert, Form Free, and now Simple Nexus. Appreciate you all for being here. Share this podcast. We appreciate you. Have a great week, everyone. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.